This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Then with another city, that it's going better relatively with that city than with another city. That's the question. And I go, all of us go like, yeah, if we have a significant number of Christians, then probably it's going better there. And she says, well, let's find the most Christian city in America. And by far the most Christian, active Christian population in America is in the Bible Belt in Dallas, Texas. So they're in there. And she goes like, okay, so I assume that it will go well with the city relatively compared to all the other cities. Probably this city will do better. So she does a bit of a comparison, which is shameful to read. It's shameful to read. It's bad. It's very bad. Because the education system in Dallas, Texas, the most Christian active city with the most, it's in terms of financial giving, financial and serving of the members and of the people, it butts in seats on church on Sunday. By far the most Christian active population. And it's not going well. Crime rate is nothing better than anywhere else in America. Education system was failing. The governance system, the judicial system was failing. As many people were paroled. The racism in the city is worse than other places in the country. And she just goes one after the addiction, single moms, promiscuity, all of this, all the ratings, unemployment levels, all of the stuff that we'd look at socioeconomically, how well is it going? And the simple answer, Ross's words, there is not shalom in that city, although we have by far the most Christian active population. South Africa, I don't have to say this to you, but Cape Town is quite a Christian population. It's not just this side of the N1. That side of the N1, very many churches, active Christianity. How well is it going with us? And this is the thing that we have to acknowledge, that just because someone comes to church, even is born again, it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God comes. He has access into the kingdom of God. He's born into the kingdom. He has got access into the kingdom. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, let my kingdom come. Seek the peace of the city in which the Lord causes you to dwell. It's not going well with our city just because we are in church. And this is the blunt thing that I have to say to us over and over again. Getting more people in church on Sunday, getting more people to church is not going to win the battle in the city. We can huddle under that massive precipice with our army people, 600 men, 30,000 men in that space, but the Philistine garrisons are going to stay Philistine garrisons until someone steps out and gets them down there. And I can tell you, when someone steps out, the rest of the people in church can still have their ceremony, but God will be out there shaking the ground where that one man moves, because that's the God that we serve. In every single biblical account, it's where people move when God prompts them. They test it, they check it out. But when we move with God, God is on the move for the sake of the nation, to bring wellness, shalom, to Israel again, to Cape Town again. That's the invitation that I see in this. And I can recognize that we, yes, distracted, dismayed, disheartened, I recognize that. But this is the amazing story. When one person moves with God, when one person moves with God, it brings courage into the hearts of all those that are distracted, dismayed, disillusioned, disheartened. It brings courage in their hearts because they can see God moving. And that's what they saw. In which way is this text a view into the kingdom of God, a window? In which way can we see something of the hope that God has for us? And I think I just love, and this is what we just said now. We can see that God moves when we move. We can see that God moves when we move. We can see that when there's actual faith, when someone actually steps out in faith to do a real, to tackle something significant, God is on the move with them. Why? Because this is what we can see, that the covenant God of Israel moves with us when we move. That beautiful Psalm 114 that you can see back there, it says, when Israel fled Egypt, it says the Red Sea departed, jumped out of the way, literally the Hebrew. The Red Sea departed, the hills jumped like rams, and the mountains like little lambs, and the Jordan River jumped up and fled away. And then he asks the questions, what ails you? O sea that you fled away, and mountains that you jumped like rams and like little lambs, out of the way. And Jordan River that you fled uphill away. And then it says, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, the God of Jacob, who moves with God's people. I had a very visceral experience with the Lord a year and a half ago with the Lord. I was walking one morning in our camp. I think I shared this. I was walking in the camp there in Hermanus. Oh, we'd love to go camping again. Yes, yes, amen. I was walking, and then I just heard the Lord invite me early in the morning to come walk with me, come walk with me. And I'm like, okay, I walk up, and every time when you actually respond, it was an amazing time. Walked with the Lord and was meditating on this text. The text was in my head, and the next moment I had this visceral experience where all of the wood shuddered, and every bird that was in the area, it fell just literally just cannon out. And then I was just so aware of God's presence, and the Lord said to me, I move when you move. And this is what this text shows us, that when you move, you're not going to move alone. God's going to move with you. And that's the invitation. Move with me, because God is on a course to bring peace to the nation. In which way is this text to me a door? In which way does this text invite me into the reality of God's kingdom? And this is just what I wanted to get really personal with you. So please make this personal. Please wrestle with us to make this personal. Please don't just be a cool, entertaining speech. And for those at home as well, wrestle with this one. This is what the text asks us to do. It asks us to identify a cause. Is there not a cause? Well, the big cause is God wants to bring welfare, peace, shalom, to our nation, to your neighborhood, to where you live, in your home, in your heart, in your community. God wants to bring his shalom, peace here. And the invitation is, first of all, just to look and see what cause tugs at your heart. If there's one thing that you read in the news and you just go, I don't want to read this, man. It's just another bad news. What is the burden on your heart? What irks you? Are the children neglected? Is the violence against women? Is it the corruption in governments? Is it just the bad policies in medicine? Is it education system? Is it unemployment? Is it the lack of housing and infrastructure? What irks you? What is the one thing that really gets you, that really presses on your heart, that you really can't let it go? Just find it. Find it. Just write it down and share it with your friends. Write it down on a wall. I've got images. Bernie says it. I've got images in my cupboard, and wherever I go, I've got images of what the Lord calls me to do, because I want to be reminded of these things constantly. You know, to not let it go, because we can get so distracted. Even if you watch Facebook, then just find the cause on Facebook and maybe stop Facebook for a while. Anyway, it's just like, because we get so distracted. And then find a companion. Find that armor bearer that says to you, listen, I'm with you as your heart is with you. I'm with you where you go. Find that one person. Don't just jump into something alone. Biblical text, one of us can put 1,000 to flight. Two of us can make legions fleeing. God is always, two is better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's always better to find someone that agrees with you, at least one. Find someone who's actually doing something, who's actually pursuing something. It takes a while for you to find someone like that. It takes a while to cultivate such a relationship. It doesn't happen overnight. But God does bring a Jonathan and Nathan together, Jonathan and David together. That just connects and their hearts were melted together. God does do that. But find someone who agrees with what you agree with, who's got to can actually have something to do. And then you do the test. You do that check. You go stand, figure it out. Find whatever is your check, whether you do a Gideon thing where no one knows at night and you put a fleece outside, or don't put a fleece inside. You know, whatever test you do, just do your testing that you need to do to make sure that God actually is the one who prompts you to do this. Don't be afraid to do that check with God, and to do the check when with God. Do it in counsel with Christian leaders, with people around you, but find something. My urgency that I'm talking to you tonight is there not a cause? Maybe just the last slide there. Thanks, Emil. Is there not a cause? Is God not really about bringing peace to our nation? Is God not here to bring restoration to our nation? God's promises of making South Africa a breadbasket to the world, is that a real thing or is that a fake thing? Is God still alive and does God still save? And not just making people sure that they can get to heaven one day, but to make his kingdom come here. There's an invitation and a cause And that scripture in Jeremiah is still the one that speaks to me the most. That says, seek the peace of the city in which the Lord has caused you to dwell. You know what's amazing about this account? One guy said, this is a crazy idea. I'm going to hang and chill with my dad. I am the prince. I'm going to have a happy life. I'm going to have a happy life and a prosperous life my whole life. But I want to live in comfort. I want to see God bringing, I want to do the thing that a prince should do and bring peace in the kingdom of my father. We princes of God, princesses, let's do this thing. Seek the peace of the city. Find that cause. Find someone that agrees with you. And be intentional about it. You don't have to rush it. But let us be the nation that rebuilds, restores, and repairs the ruined cities for God's sake. Father, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for your word. We thank you for the example, God, that when we move, you move, God. That when we step out, you step out. Thank you for the reality, God, that you are on the move, that you are able to do far more exceedingly than we can ask, think, or imagine, as Ephesians 3:20 says. You're the God who moves, God. And God, I'm speaking and praying, God, over people that feel disconnected, God, and some people that have even completely disengaged from you and from your cause, God, that just feels so overwhelmed, God, and so afraid, God, and so concerned about the nation. The anxiety is just too big, God, that the odds are against us. And I thank you, God, that you're the one who invites us into this cause, God. And I pray, Lord of hearts, Lord of the Spirit, that you'd blow upon us tonight, God, and even in the weeks to come, that you will reinvigorate our hearts, that there will be passion and life again. God, breathe in us, God. Breathe your spirit into dispirited hearts, God. Engage our hearts. God, will you again highlight the cause, God, that you would like us to pursue? I ask, Holy Spirit, director of our hearts and our lives, will you pour out your dreams? Will you remind us of the words, God? Will you remind us of the passions, God? Will you show us what is the one sword that we do have in our hand, God? It's not enough, but it's a sword. Will you connect hearts for the sake of your purpose, God? You say that this is a year in which you want to restore, in which you want to reposition. Reposition us for your cause, God. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come, God. We're going to sing a song for those at home. We're going to sing a song now. And then after this, I'm going to give a benediction and pray a blessing. But we really want to pray for people that feel overwhelmed and just don't feel strong enough. Or maybe you really have a clear call of what God calls you to do. We just want to pray over you and just speak it over you. Remember again, Jonathan had no clear word from the Lord. Only the sense, only this feeling, only this most logical thing to do. Crazy thing, but this is what he wants to do. And the Lord was with him because he acted in faith. God really wants to do that with your life. Can I just, last word? Elijah was a man likened to us, James says. Simple guy, normal guy. And he prayed and God answered. You are not too unspiritual for God to move through you. You are not too unspiritual for God to move through you. Go and read the Bible. Very normal people, very classic people.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.